Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor. Seek my heart. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me, until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Also with the lute I will praise you in your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded. They are brought to shame who seek my heart. Brothers and sisters, we tend not to realize how when we grow old. Sometimes we need someone to tell us, come on, you are too old for this or that. I will explain this with my own experience. Sam Lopez and Laura invited me to do hiking at Bear Mountain in last November. I did well for a 49-year-old man, and walked with no major problem. I was able even to climb over steep rocks until we found a rock that formed a wall about 8 feet tall. And then I said, I can climb this wall. Then my brain commanded my muscles to jump on the rock and climb on it. But my muscles responded, we are too old for this kind of adventure. We should have been asked about climbing walls of rock before any attempt. Therefore, I couldn't climb the rock. And my total humiliation happened when Sam Lopez gripped on the top of the rock and climbed on it. Why did it happen? Simple. Because Sam is 20 years old and in good shape. I am 49 and overweighted. So it's hard for me to admit that today I am too old for certain activities that I mastered when I was young. I could have done that 29 years ago, but not today. Well, one day I will be so old that I will have to ask for help to get up, climb stairs, go downstairs, to enter a car, to get out of a car, or maybe I will need a wheelchair to get onto a plane. In other words, as our hair grays, well, I don't have this problem, we become more vulnerable and needy. Help and protection become primary needs. Well, as many of you are old now, this psalm is for all of us. And this psalm is for those who are young now, but are afraid of growing old. Don't be afraid of growing old. Because when we grow old under God's grace anyway. So this psalm is especially relevant for people who are realizing they are limited physically because they are growing old. It works as a template for our prayers when we realize that our strength is fading out. And I believe that David wrote this psalm when he was old. And his enemies considered him too weak to resist. I am in agreement with John Calvin, Matthew Henry, Richard Phillips, Philip Iveson, and Richard Pratt Jr. Derek Kidner believes we cannot affirm who wrote this psalm. I disagree with Kidner because Psalm 72:20, as conclusion of book number 2, says the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, ended. So I believe that this psalm was written by him. And I also believe that Matthew Henry's structure is helpful so that we may keep in mind the two great parts of this psalm. So this psalm has two major parts. First, a believing prayer, verses 1 through 13. And second, a believing praise from verses 14 through 24. First, believing prayer, verses 1 through 13. When Nathan rebuked David after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, he said, "Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun." Nathan said this to David. When David heard those words of judgment, he could never imagine that his favorite son would carry out that sentence. Several years later, Amnon, David's son, forced Tamar, his sister. And this caused Absalom to kill Amnon, his half-brother. After killing his brother, Absalom fled to Geshur and stayed there for 3 years until David's heart was comforted concerning Amnon's death. Joab noticed that David was concerned about Absalom and sent a lady to the king to talk to David. She told David the following story. Her husband had died and her two sons fought in the field until one of them had prevailed and struck the other to death. Then her whole family raised against her, requiring her to deliver her son to be killed as vengeance. But how could she help them to kill her son and stay alone with no help in her widowhood? Then David said, "Nobody will strike your son. Not one hair of your son will fall to the ground." And then she said, "Why don't you do the same to your own son?" And David figured out that Joab was behind that story and promised to bring Absalom back home. Once brought back home, Absalom stayed 2 years without talking to David. And finally, David forgave him. As soon as Absalom was forgiven, he provided himself with chariots of and 50 men to run before him. Every day he would go to the gate. Why? Because the gate is the place when people would present their causes, their problems, and they would fill out a lawsuit. So Absalom would go to the gate every day. When someone who had a lawsuit waiting for a king's decision entered the city, Absalom would say, "Look, your cause is good and right, but there is no deputy of the king to hear you. All that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who has any suit or cause would come to me. Then I would give him justice." Look at the conversation. Absalom then kissed and hugged them. You know, "You're my friend." Well, this way, Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. It seems the politicians promising social justice today are stealing the hearts of many the same way, right? When David heard this, he fled and left his concubines to take care of the king's house. David's shame started when he fled because he had lost the people for his son Absalom. Then, while he was fleeing, Shimei cursed him harshly. And then Absalom took counsel with Ahithophel and said, and Ahithophel said to him, "Go in to your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you are abhorred by your father. Then the hands of all who are with you will be strong." 2 Samuel 16:21. Nathan's words of judgment were fulfilled. Although God had forgiven David, his sin caused consequences in long term. Absalom's immoral action brought even more shame to David. Ahithophel's plot didn't stop here. He also said to Absalom, "Now let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak and make him afraid. And all the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike only the king." 2 Samuel 17:1-2. There was David, older, covered with shame, weak and afraid. Absalom and Ahithophel thought they were managing a kingdom like any other, with plots against the king, eyeing to the succession to the throne. However, David's kingdom was different. It was established by God, looking forward to the son of David, the root of David, the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ, that would come and be the King of Kings forever. So David had God's promise to establish his throne forever in mind. With this mindset, he said, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commitment to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel men," including Ahithophel. "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you." David knew that God had already issued a command to save him, probably because of God's promise. God promised to him that his throne would endure forever. So he had this in mind. So he understood the command was already issued. And then he begs the Lord to carry out his command and deliver him from the hands of his enemies. Though old and weak, David was sure of God's care and providential protection. The same who upheld from birth was powerful to answer to a prayer from an old man. At that point, David was not seen as the strong commander-in-chief who struck 10,000 while Saul struck 1,000. In his own words, "I have become as a wonder to many," verse 7, he said that. The original word rendered as wonder can also be translated as monster. David is saying that many were looking at him with contempt. And John Calvin said that David was at that moment, quote, "an object of detestation," end of quotation. Despite this fact, David was confident. He said, "But you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day." So although being object of contempt and disdain, David had many reasons to praise God all day long. The greater his affliction was, the more glorious God's deliverance would be. And David was sure of that. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we focus on our disappointments and afflictions in such a way that we get discouraged. Many times, we can't even sleep. However, we must focus on God's grace that has preserved us throughout the years. God has saved us from hell and provided us with an inheritance that is greater than any affliction. Instead of complaining all the time, brothers and sisters, let's focus on God's goodness toward us so that our mouth would be filled with God's praise and glory. Verses 9 through 13 reveal David's lament and prayer. Being old, he was still in torment. This psalm is interesting to show that while we live in this world, we will face tribulation. Sometimes we see old people driving luxury cars, wearing sunglasses with a smile in their face. And we tend to think that they are finally enjoying the riches they built. They also have many problems, brothers and sisters, I guarantee you. And there was a very rich man in Brazil. He was a banker. And he said to the pastor, that was one of the managers, the executives in his company, his bank, he told him, "I would give all my fortune for a good health." He was rich, but he didn't have health, a good health. So they have their problems as well. We all go through many trials during our lives. As Moses wrote, "All our days have passed away in God's wrath. We finish our years like a sight," he said that in Psalm 90, verse 9. Brothers and sisters, if our hope in Christ is in this life only, we are of all men the most pitiable. Once Dr. Derek Thomas asked to an 18-year-old, "What do you think about growing old?" And the answer was, "I hope to die before then." Well, this is an example of how people nurture the idea that growing old is bad. They think like that because our culture focuses on pleasure, power, and beauty. And when we grow old, these things tend to disappear. As Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 12:1, "We must remember our Creator in the days of our youth before the difficult days come and the years draw near when we say we have no pleasure in them." So this psalm is also for you, young people. Remember your Creator while you are young. People avoid the difficulties of an old age by many means. Products to regain youth, those, you know, creams, to, you know, masks, you know, to help them to hide their age. And high doses of vitamin C, regular visits to the gym, etc. However, sooner or later, they find out that there is no such a thing as the fountain of youth. The best way to face old age is trusting in the Lord, trusting God, and being satisfied in Him alone. Because in Christ we'll have a restored body in the future that will grow old and with weaknesses nevermore. Because in Christ all things are made new. Thus, during days of trials in old age, David looked up to heaven and prayed, "Do not cast me off in a time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, 'God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him.'" And remember Ahithophel's plot to destroy David. And then David kept saying, "Oh God, do not be far from me. Oh my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my heart." Verses 9 through 13. So this is a powerful example. When we grow old, we shouldn't be afraid of anything. We should just pray a believing prayer. Usually parents expect their children to help them when they grow old. That's why Psalm 127 affirms that those who fill their quiver with children won't be ashamed, because their children will speak with their enemies in the gate. In other words, their children will defend them at the courts. David couldn't expect that because his son betrayed him when he was old. He had to flee because he was defenseless at that moment, humanly speaking, obviously. However, God was with him, and being sure of that divine presence, David prayed, believing that God's mercy would surround him. We must do the same and trust that God will surround us with protection. Second, a believing praise, verses 14 through 24. So while David's enemies were looking for an opportunity to pull his legs because of his old age, he kept trusting in the Lord. This confidence caused David to praise God. He said, "But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of righteousness of yours only." Verses 14 through 16. Although old, David settled firmly in his heart that he should praise God daily, because he didn't know how long he would still survive in this world. He understood that the fact he was still in this earth and had not been taken to glory yet was because he still had work to do. So do we? Why are we here? Why are you here? Because you still have work to do. You must praise God. You must be a witness of Jesus in this world. So David understood that. He would have more reasons to praise God and proclaim His righteousness and His salvation constantly. Even in the Old Testament, David was occupied in proclaiming the good news of salvation. And this during his old age. Some people would think, well, this is for young people. No, it's for all. We should never get retired as believers. There is no such a thing as retirement for believers. There's no such a thing. We are believers all the time. We must keep laboring for the kingdom all the days of our lives, brothers and sisters. See how David was concerned in fulfilling his duty to proclaim God's wondrous works in old age. Verses 17 and 18, in these verses, he said, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. How also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. So, brothers and sisters, David's interest was not in his welfare, entertainment, and prestige. Instead, he asked the Lord to preserve him with this goal, to declare God's strength. Not his own, but God's strength to his generation and God's power to the next generation. He was hoping in God. David acknowledged God's providential works, not only in the blessings he had that he received, but also in the trials and tribulations he was going through. He said, also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? Incomparable. You who have shown me great and severe troubles. Look at that. He was not only remembering good blessings from God, but he was remembering that God was behind all troubles that he had. There is a hymn that we sing in Brazil. We must give thanks for the roses on the way and the thorns that they have. The roses are beautiful and thorns can represent suffering. We have both in our lives. God's blessings and God's trials for our good. And then David prayed, you who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Verses 19 through 21. Both trials and deliverances come from the hand of God in his providence. God governs all things in righteousness that is high. David knew that his end couldn't be in shame. God promised him an eternal kingdom. And similarly, we rely on God's promises of eternal life and endless happiness. We can say like David, you shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. We may die, brothers and sisters, but we can say, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Even if David's endeavor resulted in his death, he was sure that the final victory would be his. For he trusted in God who brings our lives back from the depths of the earth. God only does this and gives us the final and eternal victory. Finally, David reaffirmed his purpose to praise God daily with music. He said, also with the lute, I will praise you. And this is if David were writing this today, he would have written guitar. With my guitar, I will praise you. And your faithfulness, O my God, to you I will sing with the harp. And probably today he would have said piano, with the piano. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek my heart. And look, David's words remind us of those in Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He said, he was not seeing the deliverance immediately, but he believed that the deliverance would come in the future. And he would praise God for that. It's clear that David had not yet seen God's answer, but he was trusting in him, in God, anyway. So do not lament that you are old. Give thanks for all blessings you received during your life. You had more days of health than sick and in a bed. You had more sunny days than rainy days. I'm not saying that rainy days are bad. I'm not saying that it's all under God's providence. But God knows that we like a sunny day. And he gives us more sunny days than anything else. We have more flowers in the garden than days without green. Moreover, you heard the gospel of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit called you to follow Christ. Do not lament you cannot do the same things you did when you were young. I visited a 96-year-old man many times, and he always complained that he was limited and couldn't do the same things he did when he was young. And I told him, you worked hard all life long. Now it's time to rest and dedicate to prayer. You still can help others with your wisdom. Never complain. Give thanks. What happened? He stopped complaining and turned more and more happy, although in old age. Because our happiness doesn't depend on our youth. It depends on God and His grace. Your works, brothers and sisters, your works will follow you in the day of judgment for reward. Remember that. Keep connected to people, to your friends of old. Use a computer, have a smartphone. Learn how to deal with modern devices and apps. This is important to keep your brain fresh and active. Walk daily. Keep your legs in movement. Go for vacation in beautiful landscapes. Go for a week in the beach. Walk daily and enjoy the beauty of the sunset. Go for a ride to see the flowers in springtime, or go for a walk to see the leaves during the fall. Go for a picnic and maybe do hiking in a trail of low difficulty. Come on, you're too old to do that. Bring a cane with you. It's going to help you out. Invite young people for a coffee in your home. Tell them of your experience. Ask questions about their struggles. Give them some advice. Share your wisdom. Read good books. Read good books if you have time. In this old age, probably you have time to do that. So read good books. Read the Bible several more times. Don't think, oh, I read the Bible enough. No, never say that. Read again and again. Make your personal notes. Use a journaling Bible. Those Bibles with space around so that you may write your notes. Renew your mind by learning new recipes, new things to cook, to do. Keep your spirit renewed while you wait for the glorious day of the coming of Jesus. And praise God always. Matthew Henry reminds us that our praises are fruits of our redemption itself. He said, quote, redeemed souls ought to be joyful, thankful souls. The work of redemption ought, above all God's works, to be celebrated by us in our praises. The lamb that was slain and has redeemed us to God must therefore be counted worthy of all blessing and praise. He said this, commenting this psalm. Finally, brothers and sisters, enjoy the promise made in Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. For he who promises is faithful. Psalm 92, 12 to 15 says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. And the original word for flourishing can also be translated as evergreen or verdant. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So, brothers and sisters, trust in the Lord in the old age, and you will be able to declare to others his holiness, mercy, and grace through the gospel of Jesus. Amen.